This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome back to USA Unsolved, where every episode we revisit a case of either an unsolved murder or an unsolved disappearance. Someone of Asian descent, of course. Today we're going back to Texas, and seeing how Texas is a huge state, there are bound to be plenty of unsolved cases to go through. This is one of them. Do note that this case is somewhat older, so while chances may seem slim of solving this case, it still needs to be shared. On the plus side, there seems to be a lot more information on this specific case, and other podcasters have also covered this. Her name is Elizabeth Ann Campbell, and before you question her very Western and white-sounding name, she is actually a mixed-race woman. Let's begin. Elizabeth Ann Campbell was born on May 31, 1967. She was the baby of her family, with four older siblings. Her father, Tom Campbell Jr., was a military man, and her mother, Sam Soon, was a Korean woman. The couple met while Elizabeth's father was stationed in South Korea, presumably during or right after the Korean War. As the youngest of five, it would be safe to assume that Elizabeth had tons of support and love from her family members. Her family all got along well with each other, just a typical happy family living their happy lives. Elizabeth was said to have had many friends growing up. She was responsible, never seemed to get herself into trouble, did not dabble in any bad habits as a minor, like drinking or drugs. She basically seemed like the perfect daughter. She was very close with her siblings as well, even volunteering to care for her sister's children when her sister was going through a divorce. Elizabeth was very fond of the arts, and she worked hard towards it. After graduating from high school, she first went on to Central Texas College, a public community college, to get some credits. As she was nearing the end of her final semester, she applied and was accepted into Texas A&M and was due to start her university life in September of 1988. Elizabeth took up part-time jobs, and she worked at the 7-Eleven on Rancier Avenue in Killeen, a city located in Bell County, kind of around Central Texas. At the time, Elizabeth's home was located in the city of Lampasas, about a 30-minute drive from Killeen. As per her usual routine, Elizabeth worked her shift till 9 p.m. and left the 7-Eleven on the evening of April 25, 1988. On this day, though, she had plans after her shift to go to her boyfriend, Ricky Ray's house, to do some studying. While Elizabeth had her own car, she had let her sister Carol borrow it that night, so I would assume her boyfriend came to pick her up. After arriving at her boyfriend's house for their study session, they got into an argument at around 10 p.m. Elizabeth was very upset, and at that moment, she decided she no longer wanted to be there. Perhaps she thought it made more sense to put some distance between her and her boyfriend so they could cool off and revisit later. But it was late at night. Elizabeth had no car. She did not want to ask her boyfriend for a ride home either, so she left his house on foot. This, of course, in hindsight, does not seem like a very good decision, especially so late at night. But sometimes it just seems like the only choice we have, even if it takes hours, to walk home. Turns out, many people witness Elizabeth walking along the side of the road. In one specific instance, a witness didn't think that this felt right, so they called the police to inform them, more as an FYI, and less of an emergency. Then, one of Elizabeth's classmates happened to drive past her, stopped, and offered to give her a ride. Elizabeth agreed, got in the car, and the classmate then dropped her off at yet another 7-Eleven, located in Copperas Cove, a city about 20 minutes away from her home. At this point, everything seemed to be pretty normal and straightforward. So, to recap really quick, Elizabeth left her place of work at Killeen, Texas, went to her boyfriend Ricky Ray's house, left his house on foot, caught a ride with a friend, and ended up in Copperas Cove, closer to home, but not yet home. From there, she used a payphone and called her boyfriend, asking if he could drive out to meet her and give her a ride home. I think it's understandable if the couple was still mad at each other. He told her no, and that he was upset she left without saying anything, and that it was too late for him to drive out. In hindsight, again, you might feel as if Ricky Ray should have picked her up. But as someone who was not in that position, it's really difficult to say what anyone would have done. He probably didn't think anything would go wrong. Elizabeth then told Ricky Ray that she would call and ask her brother, Tom, to come pick her up instead. Except, Tom never got the call. So what happened? The next day, Elizabeth's family learned that she had not returned home and no one knew where she was at. This next bit is a little bit confusing, but bear with me. Carol, one of Elizabeth's sisters, was said to have worked with Ricky Ray and that Ricky Ray was pretty close to Elizabeth's family overall. In one article, it was mentioned that Ricky Ray and Carol were at work together while Elizabeth went missing. But of course, neither one of them knew about it till later. While they were at work together, Ricky Ray told her about their argument, including the parts where he declined to pick her up and that Elizabeth said she would call her brother for a ride instead. It seems as if everything was happening at the same time, and by this account, the reason Ricky Ray did not go pick up his girlfriend could be due to the fact that he had to be at work. With all that said, my point is that Ricky Ray and Carol have a friendship. On April 26, the day after Elizabeth was last seen, Ricky Ray went to Carol and asked if she had seen Elizabeth. The family immediately sensed danger, as they realized she had not made it home. They called the police. Unfortunately, though, they were living in the time period of, they need to be missing for at least X amount of hours before we can do anything. Is it 24 hours, 48, or more? No one really knew because the family kept getting conflicting information. It also didn't help that Elizabeth was considered an adult at almost 20 years old. So the family took matters into their own hands when their cries for help were met with, give it time. They made flyers with her name, information, last seen info, and posted them around the city and sent those to various police stations. Seeing the family in action, perhaps, sent the police into action mode, because a missing persons report was filed with the Lampasas PD soon after. First off, they questioned Ricky Ray. He seemed forthcoming with the events that transpired, detailing their argument and how it ended. He said he was upset that Elizabeth decided to leave his house on her own, and that he wasn't even aware that she had left till after the fact. I found conflicting information on this as well. Some say he knew she left, some saying he didn't know till after she was gone. He also stated that it was very much unlike her to just walk away. Aside from Ricky Ray's statement, police were also able to pull that one call that someone made to the police. If you recall, where they reported seeing a young woman matching Elizabeth's description walking along the road late at night. Another important eyewitness would be the clerk working at the 7-Eleven Elizabeth ended up at. The clerk said that Elizabeth used a phone to call someone, which I would assume would be Ricky Ray, but did not believe she made any other calls. However, Samsoon, Elizabeth's mother, recalled hearing her home phone ring at around midnight. When she reached the phone, though, the call had dropped. Could Elizabeth have called home instead of her brother? Her, the clerk. They then saw Elizabeth climb into a silver or white van with a maroon vinyl roof. The van left, heading south toward Killeen, which is odd as it is the opposite direction of where she lives. According to Elizabeth's family, there was no way that she would disappear on her own. While most family members and loved ones tend to say this, I do believe that it is the case in most disappearances. Elizabeth had much to look forward to, She never behaved in this manner. Nothing in her personality, life, or behavior would have led anyone to believe she would just run away. She also did not pick up her last paycheck from the 7-Eleven. Where would she go? As a 20-year-old with no money? And why? A fight with a boyfriend? While that does seem silly, I can't say for sure that no one has ever done anything rash post-argument, but it means something when Elizabeth's loved ones all reject this theory. Their efforts seem to have paid off in a time where the internet was basically non-existent, though. 6 days after she was reported missing, a convenience store clerk located 85 miles from their home called the police, stating that someone matching Elizabeth's description just stopped by the store. Quote, "This car drove up to the fuel tank and a man got out of the car and took a young woman by the arm and brought her into the store with him, holding on to her arm. It wasn't as if it was a boyfriend-girlfriend type hold. His hand was above her wrist. I was up at the counter, and he pushed a $20 bill with one hand. The girl looked up at me, and I said, 'Yes, can I help you?' He said something to her in a language that I don't understand, and she dropped her head and looked down, as if she was being punished for trying to say something. She just hid, put her face down, and that was the end of that." Unquote. Then a second call came in, almost identical to the first call. Quote, "The first thing that caught my eye was that he had a real mean, rough look to him. He gave the attitude that he didn't want her to talk, just to stay silent. And that's a weird situation because if someone wants to talk, they usually talk. But she didn't. When I handed the strawberry cone to him, Elizabeth Campbell looked up at me. She looked like she was being pulled around. She wasn't with him by choice." Unquote. As if that wasn't enough, a third call came in on July 10th, where a woman cited someone matching Elizabeth's description from another gas station 150 miles from Killeen. Quote, "I had just left my car, going in to pay for the gas, and I bumped into Elizabeth coming out of the store. Elizabeth acted as if maybe she was frightened of someone, or maybe she was being watched. When I saw a photograph of Elizabeth, I automatically knew that that was the girl that I had bumped into in Garland. I was just positive that that was Elizabeth Campbell." Unquote. So what do we know of this mean-looking man who was with Elizabeth? Or this woman who might have been her? For one thing, he was Asian, which kind of leads me to think he might have been Korean, as one witness said he spoke in a foreign language to Elizabeth. No idea if Elizabeth actually spoke Korean, though, despite her mom being Korean. A composite sketch of this man was also made, which I will post on my show notes. With these three different but similar sightings, Elizabeth's family was more than determined to keep looking, believing that someone took her and is keeping her against her will. This leads to the idea that this could be human trafficking. The statement below from Lois Lee, the founder of Children of the Night, an organization that helps rescue people from prostitution, provides significant insight on how traffickers handle their victims. Quote, "Usually when someone abducts another person for purposes of prostitution, they have a process by which they strip away their identity and supply them with a new one. Oftentimes, it involves being repetitively raped. They're deprived of food, they're deprived of light, they're deprived of water, of whatever it takes in order to strip away their identity and to force them to assume another one. The pimp creates an invisible leash by presenting himself as omnipotent. That's why she would never make eye contact with anyone. And if she does, and she looks like she's asking for help, then she goes back into the closet until she has learned." Unquote. We are not done yet. Years later, in 1992, a purse was found in the property room of a local police station in Ozona, Texas. The deputy who was clearing some items found the purse, looked in it, and found an ID. When he looked up the name, he realized it was linked to a missing persons case. That's right, they had Elizabeth's purse sitting in their property room for who knows how long. While that seemed like a great find, they had no record of who turned it in, when it came in, or who stored it away. They tried running fingerprints on it, but nothing turned up. It's possible that an innocent passerby found it and turned it in, but we will never know the when, where, or who. As for the family, Tom Campbell Jr. took a leave of absence from work to look for his daughter. They had to sell off some properties and many of their cattle to keep their cash flow, as taking time off work and going around the country looking for their child is not cheap. They managed to get Elizabeth's case featured on America's Most Wanted and Unsolved Mysteries. Unfortunately, despite all the publicity, nothing more ever came up. Elizabeth's father died in 2018 at the age of 83. Elizabeth's mother was 88 in 2023, and she would be 90 now. Samsoon had stated that, quote, "I don't have evidence to her body. I have to look for life. I have to," unquote. Which is understandable. It's been almost 40 years since Elizabeth had gone missing, and I cannot imagine the trauma the family has suffered from this. The worst part is believing that someone has their daughter and has trafficked her. While chances are slim, please spread the word to anyone you know who may have information on this case. If they resided in either Killeen, Lampasas, or Copperas Cove during the late 1980s. Anything can help. Sometimes we just don't realize it. I will put the relevant information in the show notes, just in case. As of 2023, the police is looking to find out who called the police that night reporting a woman walking along the road, and if anyone has any information on a white/silver van, the one Elizabeth supposedly got into. Elizabeth Ann Campbell is around 5'2", or 157 centimeters tall, about 100 pounds or 45 kilograms, has or had long brown hair. She also has a scar on the top of her head, a scar on her chin, and a scar above the eye. Thank you for tuning in. Please take care, stay safe, and till next time.